All right, so good evening, and thank you very much for inviting me to come along this evening and have the opportunity to meet you all and talk to you all. So I believe the format for this evening is, first of all, that we do some meditation, and then there's a talk. So I thought for the meditation that we could do a very beautiful meditation, which we call the Om Ah Hum meditation. So I don't know if you are familiar with this, but it's a very simple meditation which combines concentration on the breath with a mantra Om Ah Hum. So this mantra, Om Ah Hum, is the mantra of all Buddhas. It represents the body, speech, and mind of all Buddhas. And as such, it's a very powerful mantra. So obviously, breathing meditation has many wonderful functions. It helps to settle our mind, helps us to understand that simply through controlling our mind, we can gain some inner peace. When we combine our breath, meditation on our breath, with this mantra, our breath becomes very powerful. Our inner energy winds are very closely connected with our breathing. And so our inner energy winds become blessed through this meditation, through combining breathing and recitation of the mantra. So I'll briefly explain the meditation, and then we can have some time to do it together, and I hope that you find it meaningful. So we sit and breathe. So we're all doing quite well so far. And allowing our breathing just to remain in its usual rhythm. We don't need to do anything unusual to begin with. Just breathe naturally and normally for a few minutes so that we settle our body and begin to settle our mind. And then once we've done that for a few minutes, we'll just alter the rhythm of our breathing slightly so that we breathe in and then hold our breath just for a second or two at our heart, like at the bottom of the in-breath. Hold the breath very briefly and then breathe out. So we settle into a new breathing rhythm, breathing in, holding briefly at the heart, and breathing out. And so we do that for a couple of minutes, get familiar and comfortable with that new breathing rhythm. And then we will begin to combine that new breathing rhythm with the mantra Om Ah Hum. So Om represents enlightened body, Ah, enlightened speech, and Hum, enlightened mind. So as we breathe in, we mentally recite Om. As we hold at the heart, again mentally we recite Ah. And as we breathe out, mentally we recite Hum. So hopefully we can all remember this mantra, not too difficult. Om, Ah, Hum. And as we breathe in, hold at the heart and breathe out, and recite the mantra, we feel that our inner energy winds are mixing with the mantra, and we're receiving the blessings of all the Buddhas, body, speech, and mind, so that we can become more like them. This mantra, this meditation, actually very powerful, causing our inner energy winds to be blessed, and thereby helping us to develop a peaceful mind and many good qualities like those of enlightened beings. So I hope you enjoy this meditation. Not sure if it's one you're familiar with or not, but if not, I hope you enjoy having the opportunity to engage in this. So if you'd like to settle yourselves into a comfortable meditation posture, and checking particularly that your back is straight but not tense. Allowing your hands to rest comfortably in your lap and your eyes cast down. Once we physically relax, we can begin to mentally relax, letting go of the busyness of our lives, bringing our full attention into this room, into the present moment, giving ourselves permission to let go. Just be. We can set a good intention for our meditation. Thinking through this meditation, may I become a more peaceful person, a more happy person, and then share this peace and happiness with others. Having set this pure intention, we turn our awareness inwards to the sensation of the natural rhythm of our breath. And just allow our distractions to begin to subside by following our breath as we gently inhale and exhale. So having settled our mind a little in this way, we can modify our breathing pattern slightly by holding our breath just briefly at our heart center. So we breathe in, hold briefly at the heart and breathe out. Breathe in, hold briefly at the heart and breathe out. Spend a moment or two settling into this new breathing pattern until it becomes comfortable. once this new breathing pattern feels comfortable, we can combine it with the mental recitation of the mantra of all Buddhas. Om Ah Hum, which represents enlightened body, speech and mind. So with each inhalation we mentally recite Om. As we hold at the heart, Ah. And as we breathe out, Om. Breathing in, Om. Holding at the heart, Ah. And breathing out, Om. As we breathe and recite mentally, we remember the meaning of the mantra, Om, enlightened body, Ah, enlightened speech, Om, enlightened mind. We feel the mantra energy of the body, speech and mind of all the Buddhas mix with our breath. As we breathe in, Om, hold at the heart, Ah, and breathe out, Om. for the final few minutes, make a strong effort to stay concentrated on your breath, mentally reciting the mantra while remembering its meaning. Feel the enlightened energy of the body, speech and mind of all Buddhas mix with your breath, and your mind become blessed. Before we arise from the meditation, we can mentally dedicate the positive energy, the merit that we've generated through this meditation, to our development of the good qualities like those of enlightened beings. So that we ourselves become a more peaceful and happy person and share that peace, that happiness, those good qualities with others. Gently, we can begin to relax our concentration, and when we feel ready, rise from the meditation. So I hope you enjoyed that meditation. It's very beautiful and a very powerful, blessed meditation that we can do anytime, nice and simple to remember. Okay. So this evening then, the topic of this talk is how to solve our human problems or our daily problems. So I'm going to be sharing with you this evening a little of the wonderful wisdom contained in this small book, How to Solve Our Human Problems, by my teacher, the founder of our tradition, Venerable Geshe Kelsang Gyatso Rinpoche. And in this text, Venerable Geshe-la, we call him, explains the nature of our problems. Why? So that we can solve them. So he says, when things go wrong in our life and we encounter difficult situations, we tend to regard the situation itself as our problem. So we can check. Is this true? When things go wrong in our lives, no. Life doesn't turn out the way we planned. Things that we don't want to happen, happen. People don't behave in the way that we'd like them to behave. Whenever we encounter any difficult situation, do we regard the situation itself as our problem? No. I think mostly we do, don't we? So this is just normal. When things go wrong, we encounter difficult situations, we regard the situation itself as our problem. In reality, though, whatever problems we experience come from the side of the mind. So this is helping us begin to understand the real nature of our problems, that whatever problems we ourselves encounter come not from outside of ourselves, but from inside our own mind. Now, it is our own mind that determines whether or not we have a problem in any situation. So this is what we're going to hopefully understand a little bit tonight and begin to see how we can very simply and practically begin to solve our problems by working with our own minds. If we were to respond to difficult situations with a positive or peaceful mind, there would not be problems for us. Problems arise only if we respond to difficulties with a negative state of mind. So our normal response to difficult situations, to things going wrong in our life, is to respond with a negative mind, isn't it? We get unhappy about it, maybe we get angry about it. No. Have you ever thought what it means, things going wrong? things going wrong means, I think anyway, check if you agree, when things go wrong, it means things are not going the way we want them to go. Therefore, it's wrong, because we want everything to go the way we want it to go. And of course, that doesn't happen a lot of the time. So things go wrong regularly, don't they? In fact, all day, every day, things are going wrong, small things and large things going wrong. And we regard the situations as our problems. What Buddha is explaining to us, though, is that the problems that we encounter are not in the external things. The problems that we encounter are coming from within our own mind. When we respond to difficult situations, unwanted occurrences, with a negative mind, then we have a problem because we're unhappy. But if we don't respond in that way, we ourselves don't have a problem. So our problems do not exist outside our mind. The real nature of our problems is our unpleasant feelings, which are part of our mind. So as I'm saying these things, I would encourage you to reflect on your own experience and see, is what you're hearing in accordance with your own experience? Does it ring true for you? No, because as you may know, Buddha said, don't believe in everything I say just because I'm Buddha. No, check. Does it accord with your own experience? Does it make sense? Is it logical and so on? To test, check, test things. So our problems, the real nature of our problems, are our unpleasant feelings, feelings of unhappiness, which are part of our mind. So we can begin to examine this. When we have an unpleasant feeling, an unhappy feeling, do we have a problem? When we have pleasant feelings, do we have a problem then? No, whenever we have a pleasant feeling, we have no problem. Problems occur when we have unpleasant feelings. It is unpleasant feelings that are the real nature of our problems. Those feelings exist inside our own mind. Feelings are part of our mind. We experience them inside. So our problems exist inside our own mind, not outside. Their nature is unpleasant feelings, unhappy feelings. These are our real problems. So, many examples are given to help us understand this. Some of them are, we think are a little bit far-fetched perhaps. But, for example, if our car breaks down, or maybe it gets written off by somebody else, just generally written off. If our car's written off, do we have a problem? I mean, normally we think, yes, don't we? Yes, I have a problem. No. But in reality, our car being written off is our car's problem. We have a problem if we're unhappy about the fact that our car's broken down or written off. So these two problems are very different. The car's problem and our problem are different problems. So Buddha encouraged us to learn to differentiate between the different types of problems that we have. Because if we differentiate in this way between animate and inanimate problems, between inner problems, which are our problems, our unpleasant feelings, our unhappiness, and outer problems, which are just practical problems. If we learn to make that distinction, and we practically do that in the context of our lives, then we can begin to actually solve our problems. Because we all have problems, don't we? No. Anyone not have any problems? I can share a few if you'd like some. We all have problems in our lives. And usually we think it's the external things that are the problems. And we try very hard to solve all our problems. I mean, we've been doing that most of our lives. You know, some of us have lived quite a number of years. So the methods that we presently use to solve our problems, are they working? Because if they were working, we would be experiencing fewer and fewer problems. Every year, I think less problems this year, fantastic. You know, we might be able to eventually diarise the date when we should get to the end of our problems. You know, plan a little party at the end of our problems. But I don't think any of us can do that. You know, the problems that we have don't ever cease, do they? They just are endless, it seems. And the older we get, the more that appear, seems to me. So try as we might to solve our problems, our present methods, our ordinary methods, aren't working. Because if they were, we'd be getting fewer and fewer problems. So unless that's our experience, it's showing us that we're not using correct methods. The reason we're not using correct methods is we haven't actually correctly identified our problems. Because our problems are these unpleasant feelings in our mind. There are real problems. Like with the car, if we're not unhappy, and I know it might sound like it's a bit of a stretch not to be unhappy if your car got written off, but if we could do that, like genuinely not be unhappy, maybe we can think, you know, we have some understanding which enables us to remain peaceful in the face of that kind of difficulty. Maybe we think, in the past I've destroyed other people's possessions and now my possessions are being destroyed. My karma's returning to me. Since I created the causes for this experience, then of course I must accept the effects. And then we remain at peace. Like if we had a deep conviction in karma, that would be our experience. So although we have a practical problem, no car, which may create other practical problems to replace the car, inwardly we remain at peace. And so we ourselves are not unhappy. We don't have any unpleasant feeling. So because we don't make this distinction between inner and outer problems, it's like an automatic reaction, isn't it? Whenever anything external happens that we didn't want to happen, we respond by becoming unhappy. And then we think, I've got a problem. And we have at that point. We've got two problems, actually. An outer and an inner problem. So the way that we solve the two different problems is quite different. The way we solve outer problems is just practical. The way we solve our problems is to learn how to have a peaceful mind in the face of external difficulties. If we have a peaceful mind when things go wrong, when we meet difficult circumstances, if we keep our inner peace, now keep our happiness, our inner peace and happiness at those times, we ourselves don't have a problem. We just have a practical situation that we have to deal with. Is making sense? I hope so. So if our car breaks down, we normally think, I have a problem. But in reality, it's not our problem, but the car's problem. Our problems develop only when we experience unpleasant feeling. Now, when we become unhappy about the car's problem. The car's problem exists outside the mind, whereas our problems are inside our mind. By differentiating between animate and inanimate problems like this, between inner problems, animate problems, our problems, and outer problems, which are inanimate problems, like cars' problems, then we can understand the real nature of our problems is our own unpleasant feelings, and that's part of our mind. So once we identify our own problems correctly, we can begin to solve them. For as long as we are misidentifying our problems, we won't solve them. So this is, I think, priceless, you know, to be able to do this, to make this distinction, because then we can begin to actually solve our own problems, solve our unhappiness, eliminate our unpleasant feelings about whatever external things are going on. So external problems like cars breaking down or getting written off, you know, rain when we've just put the washing out, our shop being out of our favourite, whatever it is that we went to the shops for, our partner leaving us, losing our job, all these kind of practical problems that we encounter, these are endless, like we know they are. Like throughout this life, we've had endless, numerous of this type of problem. They never cease, and they're never going to. These practical problems will just keep on coming. So we can't hope to put an end to these practical problems, these outer problems. But we can definitely put an end to our own problems, our inner problems. Because if we understand that they're coming from our own mind, and we learn how to change our mind, control our mind, keep a peaceful, positive mind when things are going wrong externally, we ourselves don't have a problem because we have no unpleasant feeling, no unhappiness. So we've just got a practical problem. If we're able to do this, one of the many benefits, there's many, many benefits, but one is, of course, we're much more able to solve our outer problems. Because as soon as we start to panic and get angry and upset about things, you know, our ability to think straight and rationally and practically just disappears, doesn't it? No. So we'll actually more easily solve our outer problems as well as our inner problems if we can do this. So our problems, and so please check, our problems are unpleasant feelings, unhappiness inside our own mind. They're feelings, they're part of our mind. So why do we get feelings of unhappiness? So I'm making you think a bit tonight, you're all awake. So feelings of unhappiness arise when we meet unpleasant circumstances. So check, is this true for me? When we're prevented from fulfilling our wishes or forced into situations we don't like. So whenever we have to put up with something we would rather avoid, what happens? We get unhappy. Our mind reacts, doesn't it, by becoming unhappy. I don't want to have to deal with this. This shouldn't be happening. It's like there's this inner voice that's going, no, it shouldn't be like this. Inwardly, there's this like rejection of whatever's going on. No. So when we react like that, when we respond to unpleasant circumstances, things going wrong, you know, the many myriad of things that go wrong. When we respond to them in that way, with that rejecting negative mind, we become unhappy and then we've got a problem, a proper problem, and one of our problems, an inner problem. So that uncomfortable feeling, that feeling of unhappiness, easily then can turn into anger, yeah? And then everything just gets worse, doesn't it? No, because anger's a horrible, painful mind, you know. We know, don't we, that we can't be happy, we can't be comfortable when we're angry. Right? We're just in pain. And then we cause everybody else around us pain because of our angry mind. No, so whenever we have any unpleasant feeling, which is our real problem, easily we become angry. And then just makes everything worse. Our mind becomes even more disturbed than before. So it's very helpful to like really think about the occasions, like what is it in our life that causes us to get angry, causes us to get unhappy? No. Like, what is it that's going on in our life that's creating that experience of unhappiness, that irritation, that anger that often comes from that? If we look carefully, although there'll be many, many things we would say, oh, this is to blame, that's to blame, you know, many different situations, we can summarise them all into two. Well, actually into one, I think, eventually. But either something's happening that we don't want to happen, so check, or something that we want to happen isn't happening. Or, so that's basically it, actually. So basically, we're not getting things the way we want them. That's why we become unhappy, if we check. I mean, it sounds sounds a bit simplistic, but if we really look, we will see that our unhappiness comes because things are not going the way we want them to go. People aren't behaving the way we want them to behave. I mean, if they did, it would just be much better, wouldn't it? Everyone would just behave in the way that we'd like them to. But yet they don't, no? And then easily we become unhappy with them. So if we check really carefully, we'll probably find that most of our anger arises when our desires are frustrated and we don't get what we want, no? So if you check back over the course of the day even, that the times that you've been unhappy or frustrated or irritated, no, how many of them were because you weren't getting what you wanted? You weren't getting it in the way you wanted. Like, really honestly look, and we start to see that in each occasion that we experience unhappiness, it's because we're not getting things as we wish them to be. So a question, another question. Do we think it's reasonable or realistic for everything to go our way? It's funny, isn't it? Because actually, if we think about it, we think, well, no, that's a daft thought. Of course, not everything's going to go the way I want it to go. And yet, every morning when we wake up, what do we hope for? I hope everything goes the way I want it to go today. And nothing happens that I don't want to happen. That's what we think, isn't it? Like every morning, we're thinking that. And yet when we really check, do we really expect that to happen? We're like, no, that's never going to happen. And yet that is our wish. So it's like we set ourselves up each day to experience frustration and disappointment because we have this desire for the fulfillment of our own wishes and for things to go that we want them the way we want them to go. So it's not that our wishes are a problem. You know, of course we would like for people to be kind and considerate and so on to us. You know, having that wish is not the problem. It's our uncontrolled desire or attachment for the fulfillment of that wish that causes the problem. You know, we want that. We'd all like that. That's just normal, you know? But we become unhappy because we're attached to having that experience. We have this uncontrolled desire for the fulfillment of our wish for everyone to treat us well, for example, or for things to go our way and for nothing that we don't want to happen to happen. Like, that's our wish, and we have attachment to the fulfillment of that wish. So when those wishes are not fulfilled, we become unhappy, unpleasant feeling in our mind, then we get angry, we start blaming other people, blaming situations, and the whole thing just gets a whole lot worse. And yet if we check, we know it's not a realistic wish. So since it's unreasonable to expect that we can fulfill all our wants and desires, we must cultivate a more realistic and balanced approach to them. So Buddha's helping us to see that it isn't reasonable to expect that we can fulfill all our desires. Like none of us would think it was if we were asked outright. And yet every moment of every day, that's what we're hoping for. No. And so we're constantly disappointed. Unhappy feelings come as a result. And then we become angry and more disturbed. So we need definitely to be more realistic, like to cultivate this more realistic and balanced view to the fulfillment of our wishes. Now recognize it's not realistic to think everything's going to go my way. So the other main reason we become unhappy or angry is that we're faced with a situation we do not like or do not want. Every day we encounter hundreds of situations we do not like, from stubbing our toe, having a disagreement with our partner, to discovering our house is burnt down or we have cancer. Our normal reaction to all of these occurrences is to become unhappy and angry. So again, you know, we can check, reflect on our own experience. Like, is this true? Like every day, things happen that we don't want to happen. And we have to deal with stuff we don't want to have to deal with. You know, it might just be we've left it too late to get to work and there's a massive traffic jam. You know, and we're going to get in trouble with the boss because we're late for work again. You know, it might be something little. We get out of bed and put our slippers on and the cat's left something, a little present for us or whatever, you know. There's all sorts of things that happen, small and large, in our life every day. Situations that we don't like and we don't want. And if we check, often we do. We get angry, we become unhappy about them. However, try as we might, we cannot prevent unpleasant things happening to us. We do try, don't we? But it's not possible at the moment. We cannot promise that for the rest of the day nothing bad will happen to us. We cannot even promise that we'll be alive to see the end of the day. In samsara, no, we're not in control of what happens to us. So samsara, probably many of you know, this cycle of uncontrolled rebirth that we are presently in. You know, we have no control over where we take rebirth. We have no control over what happens to us within any rebirth. We have no control. So we know that, because otherwise we'd never have any problems, because we'd make sure of that. So the fact we have problems very clearly indicates that we have no control. No, we can't stop unwanted things happening. So since it's impossible to fulfill all our desires or stop unwanting things happening to us, we need to find a new way of relating to frustrated desires and unwanted occurrences. So if we accept that it is impossible, so I don't know if you do or not, but for me, I think, it's absolutely impossible for me at the moment to get everything the way I want it. It's absolutely impossible to have a day go by where something doesn't happen that I wish hadn't happened. That's just how life is. So it's impossible to fulfill all my desires. It's impossible to stop things that I'd rather didn't happen from happening. They just happen. No. So rather than kind of vainly hoping that everything will go my way, even though we know that's a completely unrealistic wish. No. What can I do to solve my problems? So if we remember that our problems are our inner problems, these unpleasant feelings, then we think, I can definitely do something. No, we can't control all those external things. Our outer problems, and inanimate problems, they're just going to keep happening. But our problems, we can definitely solve. So since it's impossible to fulfill all our desires, stop unwanted things happening to us, we need to find a different way of relating to them, a different way of thinking about them, of responding to them. We need to stop making our own happiness dependent on everything external going the way we want it to go, people behaving in the way we want them to behave. Right? For as long as our happiness is dependent on those things, And our freedom from problems is dependent upon those things. There's no end to our problems. We'll never find lasting happiness. But if we take control by understanding correctly what our problems are, that there are unpleasant feelings inside our own mind, our mind we can do something about, because it's ours. Then we can begin to really solve our problems. So, what is this way, this new way of relating to unwanted occurrences, frustrated desires? Geshe says we need to learn patient acceptance. Patient acceptance. So he says patience, explains what patience is. Because sometimes we think patience is gritting our teeth and putting up with things. Which is anything actually not patience at all. You know, sometimes we say to people, don't we, I'm being really patient with you. Just keep on going. And you're testing my patience. But we're not actually patient at all at that point. We're actually irritated, aren't we? And we're just waiting for them to push a bit harder. So we can say, right, I've lost my patience with you, and we explode. But we're not actually patient at all at that point. No, patience is a mental attitude, it's a mind. So this is extraordinary, you'll love this. Patience is a mind that's able to accept fully and happily whatever occurs. It is much more than gritting our teeth and putting up with things. Being patient means to welcome wholeheartedly whatever arises, whatever happens, having given up the idea that things should be other than the way they are. No. So this is like a definition of true patience, patient acceptance. It's a mind, no, so it's not a behaviour. That's the other thing we sometimes think patience is, don't we? We think if we're just being inactive or not responding to a situation, that we're being patient. No. But patience is a mind. It's something that's happening inside. We can be inwardly patient, but outwardly taking action. You know, patience is not passive. It's not like we become a doormat or anything like this, if we develop a patient mind. There's a misunderstanding about what patience is. Patience is actually a very strong mind. It's not weak or passive. That's often what we think about when we think patience. But it's a mind that's able to accept. So it's an accepting mind. It accepts fully and happily whatever is happening. It's not thinking, no, it shouldn't be like this. No, because that's what's causing that unhappiness, isn't it? It's our rejection of any situation that we find ourselves in. That rejection in our mind creates that disturbance in our mind. No, because we're like mentally going, no. So there's this tension, this rejection in our mind. So patient acceptance is the opposite. Like, it's not rejecting, it's accommodating. It's thinking, okay, maybe this isn't what I wanted, but this is how it is. Like, it is like this. And if you ever, if we ever have some experience of patience, like true patient acceptance, we will know through our own experience how extraordinarily peaceful this mind is. When we truly accept the things that are happening in our lives that we have no power or no ability to change, when we stop fighting against them and truly accept them, inwardly, we're at peace. It's like we stop resisting. So patience is a mind that's able to accept fully and happily whatever occurs. Being patient means welcoming wholeheartedly whatever arises. Now, we let go of the idea things should be other than the way they are. We think the way they are, eventually, is perfect. Eventually, no. So this is true patient acceptance. And from that patience, from that acceptance, comes the most incredible peace, inner peace. It is always possible to be patient. We think, I don't know about that. But it is, it's always possible. Like, to begin with, it seems like it's completely impossible. We can think of many, many situations where we think completely impossible to be accepting of these situations. In fact, there's some we think we shouldn't accept. No. So that this, I'll come back to that point because it's important. But it's always possible to be patient, to have this acceptance in our mind. Yeah, there is no situation so bad it cannot be accepted patiently with an open, accommodating, and peaceful heart. So I know, like, to begin with, we think, well, yes, there are many situations. But with training in patient acceptance, actually we'll come to understand this is true. No, there is no situation eventually that we could not experience in which, with training, we would be unable to keep a peaceful mind, a patient mind, an accepting mind. So our pain, our unhappiness, is coming from our non-acceptance, our feeling it shouldn't be this way, our frustration, our anger. That's what's causing our pain. That's our real problem. When we accept whatever is happening patiently, with this open, accommodating, peaceful heart, when we do that, we experience incredible mental peace, inner peace. And then we ourselves don't have a problem. When patience is present in our mind, it's impossible for unhappy thoughts to gain a foothold. You know, anger can't get in, can it? Like, patience and anger are completely the opposite. So while we're being patient, we can't be angry. So patience protects us from anger, from all the pain and suffering that anger brings to us and to others. Patience directly protects us from that. It protects us from all negativity in our mind, actually. No, because it's such a powerful, positive mind. It's a virtuous mind that just brings incredible peace. So, although to begin with, we might hear this and we think, well, there's lots of things I couldn't accept. No. Lots of things I couldn't be patient about and accepting of. We have that reaction just because we're not familiar with being patient and accepting. No, if we were able to have some familiarity practice, then we would get better at being accepting and have fewer and fewer problems in the process. So this is good because every day we have problems, don't we? And so every day we have the opportunity to solve our problems, our unhappy minds, by learning, by training in patient acceptance. And gradually through that, through the little things, you know, training with the little things that happen, with the headaches and the, you know, traffic jams and people not behaving in the way we want them to behave, all these kind of small problems that we have, gradually our ability to remain accepting and inwardly at peace through patient acceptance will grow. And then when the bigger things happen in our life, we'll be more able to deal with them. So it is true that eventually there'll be no situation that we can experience that we can't accept with an open, accommodating, and and peaceful heart. Right. So, I personally have a very powerful example of this in my own life. I always talk about this when I think about patience because it comes to my mind immediately. So, my mother many years ago, in her early 20s, suffered 3 massive strokes. So for her at the time, you know, she was young, very beautiful, had a whole life ahead of her, 2 small children, like 1 and 2, I think my brother and I were, and it had a catastrophic effect on her life. And you think, that is definitely something I wouldn't want to happen. Like, that would be hard to accept. That would definitely be a problem for me. I mean, I think that would be a problem. I would find that very difficult to deal with. Yeah. So when something like big like that happens, of course, you know, our immediate reaction is to be very unhappy, very angry. Why is this happening to me? You know, all these kind of responses. But eventually, you know, if we have wisdom, we will realize that holding on to that unhappiness maintaining that mind of non-acceptance will mean that we are unhappy for the rest of our life. Yeah? So, of course, accepting a difficult situation like that is not easy. It's not without its own pains. But the pain involved in accepting pales into insignificance to the pain involved in not accepting. Because the pain involved in not accepting has no end. Whereas the pain involved in accepting does have an end. Because once we've accepted, like fully, wholeheartedly, we've given up the thought, it shouldn't be like this. And we accept it is like this. Well, then everything's okay. And we can enjoy everything again because our mind is at peace. Inwardly we're at peace. So the same is true of any, you know, difficult, you know, very difficult situation. You know, if I have another family member with cancer and I talk to them, you know, I've talked about accepting their situation, like accepting potentially their death. They've said to me at the moments, the rare moments, that they give up fighting against their sickness and just accept. They feel so alive, like incredibly alive, appreciating every moment. And profoundly peaceful, yeah. So, I mean, maybe some of us have faced these kind of difficulties in our life. These are problems, aren't they? Things we normally think of as problems. So, of course, you know, when we are faced with these difficulties, these outer problems, we need to do something about it if we can, you know, take appropriate course of action, medicines and so on, to try and solve that outer problem. A physical problem, a practical problem. But that's not our real problem. Our real problem is our unhappiness about that situation. The way we solve that problem is quite different. The way we solve that problem is by learning how to accept. Because acceptance brings the most extraordinary peace. You know, even the little things in life, we probably all have things that we've riled against. And then maybe we've given up fighting, you know. And we know, don't we, what a relief it is. It's just like, okay. And there's this real sense of calm that comes when we stop rejecting and we accept. Acceptance brings such incredible peace. And solves our problems, our inner problems, completely gone. So it's important that we understand that Being patient and accepting of difficulties doesn't mean that we don't do anything to try to solve the problems if we can, you know? Like, we have to understand that the different problems, outer problems and inner problems, have different solutions. Our problems, our inner problems, are our unhappiness and our anger. The way to solve those problems is by learning to patiently accept the things we cannot change. Yeah? That will solve all of our problems, all our unhappiness. But the outer problems, well, if we can do something about them, of course we do. You know, if we have no money, being patient isn't going to get us any money. We need to go and look for a job. You know, patience doesn't solve our outer problems. If our car breaks down, being patient and accepting protects us from being unhappy about it, but we still got to practically do something if we want to get a car back on the road. You know, like, there's no contradiction between these two things. If we separate out the problems, then we understand how to solve each one. So there's no contradiction. Like, sometimes people think if we become patient and accepting, people are going to walk all over us or treat us badly. This kind of misunderstanding occurs. So this is definitely not the case. You know, what we're concerned about principally when we talk about patient acceptance is what's happening inside our own mind. Like, what our inner response is to the situations that we are finding ourselves in. What we're mainly concerned about is keeping that accepting, peaceful mind, that open, accommodating heart, in the face of external difficulties. But if we can change something externally, of course we do, you know, of course. I had a funny example a few months ago now. At the centre, the meditation centre in Fremantle, we've got a bit of a slope in our driveway. Yeah. And we were sitting one day in the lounge and we could hear all this shouting and carrying on and noise out in the driveway. And so a couple of us went to see what was going on. And there were some boys, kind of young men, who were skateboarding down the driveway. And they were doing these tricks, like they were skateboarding, like, woo, down the driveway, up onto the wall, off the wall, and then kind of into the highway. Slightly dangerous. And it all looked a bit precarious, and it looked like there was going to be some damage done to people and to property. So, like, ordinarily, we'd probably, you know, many people would go, right, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to tell them, like, get off my property. We get upset and angry and respond very negatively. So we'd have an outer problem, people destroying our property, potentially causing themselves injury, and we'd have an inner problem because we're unhappy about it. No. But we can do something about the situation and stay peaceful. So we can go out, this is what we did, a couple of us. We went out and we said to them, what are you up to? And they're like, oh, said, you know, looks like you're doing some skateboarding tricks. They're like, yep. Okay, show us what you're doing. So off they went, down the driveway, up onto the wall, jumping off the wall, falling off the skateboard, almost going into the highway. And it's like, oh, that's interesting. They were filming it, by the way. Filming this, you know, trying to get the good stunts. So he did his thing, came back, a bit proud of himself, you know. That was pretty clever. It looks like it's quite dangerous, or quite tricky. He's like, yeah, difficult stunt, you know. So like, looks like it might take quite a few attempts to get it right. He's like, yeah. Do you think in the process of doing that, there's any danger that you're like going to break the wall or smash up the plants or like hurt someone? Yes, he said. Yeah, we'll stop. And off they went. That was it. And it was such a beautiful example to me of how by just accepting the situation, we weren't saying, go away, you're bad, you'll get off my property or anything like this, like inwardly at peace, but outwardly taking steps to solve a problem. Yeah, so no, there's no contradiction between these two things. So it's very important that we understand this, because otherwise we get it wrong. So patience, yeah, patience brings the most extraordinary peace. If we can practice patience, if we can accept, or when things don't go the way we want them to go, when unwanted occurrences occur, then we will only have one problem, an outer problem. And we ourselves won't have a problem because our mind remains at peace. So there is no situation so bad that we cannot accept it with an open, accommodating, and peaceful heart. So by learning to accept the small difficulties and hardships that arise every day in the course of our lives, gradually our capacity for patient acceptance will increase, and we'll come to know for ourselves the freedom and joy true patience brings. So this is wonderful, because if we learn with the small difficulties, how good will we be at patient acceptance? Like, we have small difficulties all day, every day. So we can be training in patient acceptance, solving our problems all day, every day. So wonderful. I'm maintaining this mind of inner peace. So I want to give you something really practical to take away to help do this, okay? So some of you may have heard of a very famous Indian Buddhist master called Shantideva. Yeah, and he wrote a very famous Buddhist poem called Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. Yeah, and many verses to this poem, all very practical. But there's one particular one that is so useful with respect to solving our problems, like our unhappy feelings, our unpleasant feelings. So Shantideva says, we should ask ourselves, whenever something happens, you know, something goes wrong, something we want to happen isn't happening, we should ask ourselves, can this be remedied? Can it be remedied? Can I do anything about it? Like, practically, okay? So if something can be remedied, so there's only two answers to can this be remedied, yes and no. So it's nice and simple. So if we think, yes, it can be remedied, then why be unhappy about it? Just remedy it. Like, we don't need to be unhappy as well, do we? Now, if a problem, an external problem, can be remedied, no need to be unhappy about it. We simply apply the remedy. Yeah, so we've got a broken down car. We think, can this be remedied? Yeah. I need to take it to the mechanic. I don't need to be unhappy about it. I've got one problem, an outer problem. I don't need to give myself an inner problem. So can this be remedied? Yes, no. Yes, great, remedy it. Don't need to have unhappy feeling. Why be unhappy? And if it can't be remedied, how does being unhappy help? Like, what does it achieve? So if something, Shantideva says, if something can be remedied, why be unhappy about it? And if there is no remedy for it, there is still no point in being unhappy. If there is a way to remedy an unpleasant, difficult situation, what is the point in being unhappy? Like, how's it going to help? On the other hand, if it's completely impossible to remedy a situation or to fulfill our wishes, there is also no point in getting upset, for how will our becoming unhappy help? It won't change anything. It just means that we have an inner problem to go with our outer problem. So we can avoid that situation if we understand this. And I love this advice from Shantideva because it's quite simple to remember and very practical. As Geshe-la explains, it works in every situation. So if you'd like to try and remember that particularly. Now, whenever we have any problem, whenever we're thinking, oh no, probably won't take long before that happens, we can think, this problem I have, can it be remedied? So it'll usually be an outer problem to begin with. Someone said something or done something or not done something. Or can this be remedied, yes or no? If the answer is yes, we don't need to be unhappy, we just remedy it. If the answer is no, we can think, well, what is the point in me being unhappy? If I can do nothing about it, it's just an outer problem, I don't need to give myself an inner problem to go with it. How will that help me? So we don't. I know it sounds simple, it's not always that simple to put into practice, but if we try, we get better at it. And gradually, little by little, day by day, week by week, month by month, we actually solve our problems. And we can really look forward to an end to our problems because we understand correctly what our problems are. So I hope that some of that, at least, was meaningful and helpful to you. Thank you very much for inviting me to come. Thank you, Anusha, PSWA for inviting me to come. It's been very lovely to have the opportunity to meet you all and to talk to you all. So thank you. And I don't know if there are any questions or what normally happens now, but thank you all very much and for your attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Venerable, for a beautiful meditation and very interesting talk. I've learned from other great teachers that our challenges and things that go wrong are opportunities for growth. Mm-hmm. That there's often we react because we feel guilty, because we feel there's something wrong with us, that things go wrong outside, or we feel there's something wrong with people outside. And so if we can realize, come from a space of self-love and innocence, mm-hmm. compassion, then that changes the whole situation.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. Kelsang Annie.
Hello.
Thanks for the wonderful deep talk. Yeah, I know. The Buddha was telling us that our mind is the forerunner of all states. Everything is mind-made, and that our thoughts, our feelings, and our perception, they are connected. Yeah. So each of us, we have our own tools, you know, on how to deal with our problems.
Yeah.
What I find fascinating and which I used to, you know, is the Tibetan Lojong, you know.
Yeah.
Thought transformation.
Yeah.
How you change your thinking to solve problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
I use that a lot. I've got this book by Lama Zopa Rinpoche.
Yeah.
Thought transformation is beside me. Anytime there's a problem, I take it out and I read it. And it helps me so much.
Yeah. The Lojong teachings are wonderful.
Wonderful.
Wonderful training the mind teachings.
Yes.
Yeah, to help us transform all of our difficulties.
Yeah, difficulties. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Many, many That's methods wonderful. To do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for the wonderful talk. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.